Joe Varden has agreed. He'll join us at 9:20. We're going to get to you guys. Would you take Kyrie Beck? Lime and I say yes. Which, by the way, I have several people going, what was that? Because we said it was like Kyrie went away to college, and then he comes back and he's telling all this philosophical stuff, and people, yeah. And I said I had an experience once in college, and I keep getting asked. I thought I was laying enough of a hint when I talked to AA about it. I didn't. AA, I'll tell you this. Did you ever see Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes.
Basically, after Kip gets married to LaFonda, that's the way I was for about a hot summer. It was great.
Oh, lovely.
It was a good time, man. Lovely. It was a good time.
You had the chain, too?
Didn't have the chain.
Okay.
I had an experience once in college that changed me. A good time.
See, you learn from that. You know.
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about that time. I'm just missing that time right now. That's all. Joe Varden is live in Miami. He'll join us at 9:20. Joe Varden, 9:20. So would you take Kyrie back? Kyrie sounds like a contrite person. Sounds like he's at least laying the groundwork to come back and be applauded and have his jersey retired. He knows he's going to get his jersey retired. And I think I'm dead serious about that. But in this hypothetical, would you take Kyrie back? And Lima and I are steadfast, lockstep together. Yes. Unequivocally, yes. I don't know what it would take. I don't think it's possible. Dan Gilbert, I would ask to spend himself into oblivion in the luxury tax to bring Kyrie back. But there's a lot of things here where, you know, Sean Marks wasn't necessarily wrong. I was just surprised about what Sean Marks had to say about Kyrie and his situation. Pretty basically let it all out there that the organization is very upset with Kyrie Irving. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would, I think that Kyrie's had some perspective. He's been to Boston. He's been to the biggest city in the world now. And I think that he wanted to escape here and almost hide. And he went to a bigger Cleveland and Boston, except we do not have the same type of history Boston does in a lot of ways. And then he went to the biggest city in the world. And there you are just a mercenary to them. That's all they are. I mean, I know they love the Knicks there, but that's all he is a mercenary. Him and KD, that's all they are to them. Here he was loved. Now, there's people who have hate. They're in my mentions about him.
Sure, but
he was loved.
You know what? Everybody had hate for LeBron, and then he came back, and he was once again, LeBron is almost as if he had never left. Like, that's how they greeted him when he came back. That's why I'll never forget that week of radio. The week before LeBron left, and these were all people that hated his guts and went to watch him and boo him and say other horrible things to him when he had returned the first time in Miami. So obviously fans are capable of changing their minds.
I would agree. Sorry, you know, I was taking a sip of coffee.
Just like if all of a sudden the Guardians were in the World Series, you think all these people who said they swore off baseball because they changed the name, you don't think they'd come back?
Hell,
they would come back
no.
So fast.
Hell yes, they would come back. Yes. Yes, yes. I mean, if you didn't, I mean, I guess, but my Lord Almighty. Like, we can all, guys, you're fans. There's no scoreboard. That's the beauty of being a fan. Like, there's no scoreboard here. You don't have to stand it, well, I was wrong, and I'm going to have to continue to be wrong. That doesn't count in your world. You can say whatever you want. You can like whoever you want. And we pick and choose times. There were 4 years. There were 7 years where everybody loved LeBron. There were 4 years and everybody hated him, 4 years and everybody loved him, and now it's like half and half now. Lime right. And I, we've chosen to like LeBron. There are people who will call us up
still
every day.
Still not rooting for him to win, though.
No,
I'm still not
really
rooting for him to win.
Not really. But there will be people who call us up every single day and tell us we're the biggest idiots they've ever listened to because Lime and I choose to like LeBron. And we do. We really, really do. But this is a Kyrie day. I want to keep it to Kyrie. And right now, I've been mad at Kyrie. I was screaming mad at Kyrie with you about the Boston thing. And you were pro-Kyrie that day. And here I am going, yep, flip-flopping. There's a chance to bring him back. Want Kyrie back. I think that he's contrite. I think that he's learned. I would take him back. Absolutely. To the phones we go. 216-578-0092. Gino and Menor. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, guys? I would love to have Kyrie back, man. Who would you rather have, Kyrie or Colin Sexton? You know what I mean? If you could do a sign-in trade deal. Yeah, definitely. All day. Throwing Caris LeVert. Throw in that 14th pick, you know, throw in my ex-wife, whoever. Bring Kyrie back, man.
What about your current wife?
Don't have her. That's why she's back.
Oh, well, okay.
That's some laugh.
That's a good way to get, good way to get rid of her.
Come on, man.
Gio.
I love that.
Thank you, Gio.
And the sad thing is she could have tragically died, and he is just laughing.
His ex-wife.
On to the next one.
Hate my life.
I'll package a deal. I'll throw in an ex-wife, too, then.
Hate my business.
You know, if you think about Kyrie, he really is. He's Colin Sexton and Caris LeVert on steroids because, you know, those guys are basically two guards who, you know, are capable of having big nights. But Kyrie is just how many guys in a league are capable of outplaying Steph Curry in a series? How many guys are capable?
A handful.
Yeah.
And he's one of the handful.
Right. And you know, the series did not go well for Kyrie and Kevin Durant, obviously, for myriad reasons. I mean, I'm still not even convinced they have a head coach with Brooklyn right now. And they didn't have Ben Simmons, and they have no physicality, they have no bigs, they have none of that. So they had such a gimmicky series against the Celtics, and every game went down to the wire, partially because of Kyrie's shot making. I mean, game one, 39 points. He looked like the best player in the NBA that game. That's how good he is. Again, is there any chance this happens? Most likely not. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about whether or not just you would sit there and even have the discussion. Yep.
And if he goes, listen, I would take this, this, and this to make this work, to go back to Cleveland, to put Cleveland back up, to put the Cavaliers back in a position to win with Darius Garland, with Evan Mobley, with Jared Allen, if that was the case, like say it was those three and Kyrie Irving. I mean, come on, for the love of God, think about that team. There is no quote-unquote collapse with Kyrie Irving on that team. There's an expectation to go to an Eastern Conference Finals or an NBA Finals. It's not guaranteed, but there's an expectation there with him to go there. I think it makes sense. And yes, he could open up his mouth next week, and I could regret everything I've been saying for the last 40 minutes.
Which you could probably bet on.
And
Kyrie.
I would probably bet that that's a good point. But as of right now, I mean, you guys talked me into it because I thought we were just talking about him coming back on a retirement tour. And him having fun. And then all of a sudden, it's like, would they take him back in Cleveland? And I'm going, you know what? Now that you say it, hell yes, I'd take him back in Cleveland. Jeff and Wycliffe, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
The one thing I want to say is sports fans are like priests. If you show forgiveness, you show you're a changed man, we forgive you. I mean, LeBron left the way he did. He came back. We win a championship. We had a town full of popes, it felt like, here. So definitely I'd take him back. You know, I think he's grown up. If I had the maturity that I have now when I was in my 20s and 30s, I'd have two vacation homes because I wouldn't have kept the basement and have a nice day in the flats in business. I can tell you my son's 15 years old, and growing up watching that championship, he never – took a sniff at wanting a pair of LeBron shoes. It was all Kyrie's, then the next generation Kyrie's. I'd take them back in a heartbeat. I'll let you guys lip flip on that a little bit. I'm hitting the eject button.
Lip flip away we go. Mike, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just first, have a nice day, cafe reference we've had, I think, ever on the show.
Only took us 5 years. Yeah. Mike and Tremont, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey.
Oh, hi.
So, I absolutely do not want Kyrie back, and here's why. Ooh. Before LeBron, he never won, could not go to the playoffs. After LeBron, he almost blows up a Celtics team, and then the best he can muster up is a round one exit with KD. There's no doubt.
Yeah, but Mike, I guess I'd ask you, well, first of all, it's been 3 years, Darius Garland. You wouldn't say, hey, he's not worth anything, right? You'd say we love Darius Garland. What's he won? He hasn't won anything. They were tanking those years, you know, right after they lost LeBron. They were trying to reboot. They weren't going to win.
I agree.
Right. Well, and here's another reason too. I mean, Kyrie, no doubt, one of the best, you know, finishers in the league, but he plays ISO ball, and that's not what the Cavs are building here. I mean, his game is revolved around having to have the ball in his hand the whole time, and then finishing at the rack. He's not a very good assist point guard. I mean, Marcus Smart averaged more assists. And don't forget, he hangs his whole entire career on one shot. If he doesn't make that shot in the finals, there's nothing he can hang his hat on. And also, don't forget,
I mean, Mike, he outplayed Steph Curry for the whole series. He was the unanimous MVP. You don't act like it was just one shot.
It's not like he's Robert Horry.
He decimated Golden State. They told Zach Lowe. Steve Kerr told Zach Lowe that they had no answers. They didn't know all their great switching defense and the way that they guard the screen and roll. They had to throw it all out the window. They were so befuddled by Kyrie.
he was also the one that held the ball for 20 seconds and airballed a layup, and LeBron had to have the chase down block, the possession.
He has a tough game, Mike. Did you see the last three minutes? Did you not watch the last 7 minutes of that game where all the best scorers in the league couldn't score? It's really hard at the end of a seven-game series.
It's kind of difficult.
Just ask Steph and Clay how difficult that was. And ask LeBron. LeBron had trouble scoring,
Mike, thank
in
you
the last 7 minutes of that game. I mean, go back and watch the game. I thought everybody memorized that game from heart. Like, he remembers one bad shot out of Kyrie. Look at LeBron. You know how hard it was to score in Game 7?
Mm-hmm.
It's
89-89 forever.
Right. What were they scoring in the regular season those years?
It was
they were one of the best offenses in the NBA.
Yeah. Then you get down to the defense, and yes, guys start missing shots because you're playing tighter defense and you're playing in bigger moments.
And yes, Kyrie, it is proven. He is not the best player on a championship team. Let me ask you, how many guys are in the NBA?
Three.
How many guys can win a championship as the best player? Now, Kyrie thought he was that guy, and he found out not even close.
Giannis, LeBron, Steph Curry.
And maybe Kawhi, who got one kind of half championship that year.
Three and a half. Because we have to get to a point of what's Kawhi done lately. But you know what? Since I'm making the argument
everybody
for
on Golden State got injured that year.
Four. Yeah. Out of 1,000, there's four guys.
So, okay, Kyrie's not that.
But
what about the next group?
What about Evan Mobley at some point? What about him? Like, I'm not saying he should be the leader. I'm saying he should be on the team. And you're saying basically, are you saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Now, he would be the veteran who's been there before, so maybe there would be that natural push.
Yeah, this Cavs team right now does not really have that experience.
And
if they thought Rajon Rondo was that guy to instill all this experience, I don't know that that's the guy.
Well, Rajon Rondo certainly has his hands full right now.
Well, he's probably done. He's probably done in the NBA.
By the way, the NIL proposed failed by 538 to 254 for the OHSAA. No NIL this year. No NIL.
How many people voted?
Failed by a vote of 538 to 254.
You didn't go vote earlier today?
Wait a second. Who is eligible to vote that there were almost 800 people voting?
We'll get to that at 9:40. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, Joe Varden next on The Fan. 9:40, we'll talk NIL, which I'm sure we're going to end up talking about it again tomorrow. Also, keeping an ear to the ground about everything going on with Deshaun Watson. Also, I want to make sure everybody gets this out there. Jonathan Jones, about an hour ago, CBS, tweets, a return to the Cleveland Browns has long made the most sense for Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
That's one to keep an eye on as voluntary OTAs continue. There you go.
I'd say we've been keeping an eye on it.
There you go.
Is anybody not?
Well, I can't keep an eye on Jarvis anymore.
Yeah.
But it is the latest thing from a news person. That's why I would put it out there. Speaking of news people, let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in Joe Varden. Find him on Twitter at Joe Varden, NBA writer. He's down covering the Eastern Conference Finals, Miami and Boston. He's live from Miami, which, boy, Lima's painted the town red many times. Joe, if you need any help with what to find and what to do, you ask the Tone Master General. However, let me ask you this. We were just a full boat of calls, people coming in, most agreeing with Anthony and I, but the people disagreeing, vehemently disagreeing. Would you take Kyrie back on this team?
You know, it's funny. I had that exact thought last night. Like, if Kyrie and LeBron both got out of their contracts and agreed to come to Cleveland for the minimum or whatever, which is insane. Would I take them back? And I think I would.
I was imagining you would do that. I used to be a rabid anti Kyrie guy, and I've just heard him over the last. He seems to have changed. He seems to have changed. He seems like he's contrite. Like he really likes Cleveland and liked his time there. What's happened with him?
Oh, I don't know about that.
You don't.
I just think. No. He's still all over the place. Just watch his behavior daily in Brooklyn, how antagonistic he is. And, the whole thing he did this year, now in the aftermath, you have people openly talking about how his behavior wrecked that team and they lost James because of it. And, what they got back, you don't know. And Sean Marks talking about not necessarily offering Kyrie another long-term deal and Nike maybe pulling their signature shoe from him. So no, I don't think that he would come back here a changed person, but I just think, we're all in this business to win. and it would be nice to win another one. And certainly the Cavs would have been in great shape to win in 2019 instead of the Raptors had that team held on for just, you know, one more cycle.
Joe, before we get into previewing the final four teams that are left in the NBA, we got into a pretty good discussion earlier on about revisiting whether or not, you know, the Cavs missing the playoffs, the lottery tonight. Now they're in the lottery because of this, most likely the 14th pick, whether you can call what happened to them a collapse. And generally these discussions turn into semantics, but how would you classify this season as a whole for the Cavs, but also how it ended?
Yeah. How could you not call it a collapse? Of course it was. They were as high as second place in the month of February and wound up not making the playoffs. And I think, you know, as we've discussed, yes, injuries played a part of that, but it also pulled back the curtain on sort of the imperfections of this roster. And, you know, I mean, it's great that in the end they were able to trade for Caris LeVert for really nothing. I mean, they got their draft pick back. But I would not suggest that the Cavs should just run it back with the same group. You know, I think that some work needs to be done on this roster and certainly the mindset in the front office and in the locker room cannot be, well, look how far we came last year. You know, because of that, we're going to make it to the playoffs this coming year. I mean, in spite of the collapse, the league now knows about the Cavs and they will be taken more seriously on a nightly basis. And you can ask the Hawks, you can ask the Knicks, even the Timberwolves who did it this year, they're already talking about how next year will be tougher. And that is definitely going to be true for Cleveland.
Well, that's why I don't call it a collapse, Joe. Joe Vardon joining us on the show. The over-under at the beginning of the season, 26.5. They finished with 44. And, I mean, it's kind of like what you said earlier this year. They're not that good. It wasn't like any of this was expected out of them. I don't want to just sit there and blame it on injuries. I just look at where we were at the beginning of last season. I can't really call a 44-win game. And I hate the Orlando loss was as inexcusable as it gets. I get that. But I just don't consider it a collapse when I look at what was expected out of them. I consider the Browns last year a collapse, not them.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good point, Ken. You know, and I guess if we want to back off from the word collapse, fine, then we could just say a cruel and brutal course correction.
Fair enough.
It's one or the other.
I would take that one there. That's fine. Well, you know, I tend to be sensitive about these types of issues, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, one of the things I think we were deprived of is trying to further evaluate strengths and weaknesses in a playoff series. Because as we see, you can do that. I mean, who would have thought that before the series in the Western Conference that we knew Luka was going to be great, but that it would rise to the occasion of him being able to just dismantle, mostly using his ISO ball. We were just talking about ISO ball with Kyrie, that he would be able to dismantle, you know, the one seed in the Western Conference, do it on the road and do it so definitively the way that he did it. I'd love to see how Darius Garland holds up. I just heard Zach Lowe say the other day, well, it's just tough to have your best player or second best player on a team be 6 feet tall. And I'm like, so what? We're supposed to trade Darius Garland? Can we at least see him in a playoff series first before we can just say that he's going to be at such a disadvantage defensively or anything like that?
Yeah, that's I don't agree with Zach on that one. If memory serves, what we want to do now is sort of latch on to the Memphis model. If you go back to the bubble, again, I think this is right. I think Memphis played all the way into the play-in and then lost that play-in game to Portland, I believe. I was there. And so then the next year they had to play their way through the play-in but made it. That was last season. They beat the Warriors, I believe. And so they had that first-round experience. And then, you know, this year they're all the way to second in the West and – did, you know, had a nice tough first round series and won it. And, you know, if not for the injury to Ja, could have been looking at a different series. So Memphis is right where, the Grizzlies want to be. And the Cavs, I suppose, could follow that model. That's what we're hoping, that even though they didn't reach the playoffs, those two play-in games were huge, just huge for Darius and Evan and the other younger players.
Yeah, I just wonder, Joe, how the Cavs plot out trying to get those wings, because that seems to be the most important thing by far right now. Now, we'll have Evan Mobley, and Evan Mobley is so gifted that, you know, a few years from now, you know, Evan Mobley will play like a wing, most likely, where he will be able to take guys off the dribble. He'll be able to do all the unicorn things that he was hyped to be able to do. We've even seen some evidence of that early on. But in the meantime, they just don't have the wings, the physical guys also that can really disrupt other teams' offenses. You're going to see a lot of that with the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. And so while I love the young talent that the Cavs have, I think they'd have problems in a lot of series against a lot of teams that will be able to search and destroy your defensive weaknesses, and that's with or without Colin Sexton, obviously.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it's a glaring weakness. And also, like when I was talking earlier about the imperfections of the roster, like us coaches, players, like they all really bought into the big front three, right? Like the 3 7-footers with Markkanen sort of playing that wing. But as the season went on and we got down the stretch and into those play-ins, we saw how going with that lineup meant that the roster is imperfect, because it junked up the rotation. They needed to be able to go to Kevin Love, and they couldn't do it because of they're already playing Mobley and Jarrett Allen and then Markkanen. And so now you've got these three like giant guys, and they're going to struggle to move their feet defensively. And it had a ripple effect. And so while I thought Lauri Markkanen had a fine season, you know, just for who he is and what he's able to do, long-term, I don't think that big front three, is the answer. And so I think what you want to do, if you can, is try to get to a more conventional wing. But like you're saying, how do you do that? And every team that's not very good or is trying to get better, that's pretty much what they're looking for, is that wing. So, you know, I'm really hopeful that they hit on this pick here, you know, next month, that they able to get a good wing, you know, somewhere in the late lottery. And go from there. I think that's probably going to be the best option, is to draft young, and hopefully that guy's ready to go soon.
The sensational Joe Vardon with us on the show. Hey, real quick. So I got Lima asked a question when we were getting in this Kyrie fight with a caller. And it was about what players, as the best player on their team, could carry a team to a championship. I said, right off the top of my head, I said LeBron, Giannis, Steph. Lima goes, well, you got to remember Kawhi. He had that challenge. So, okay, that's true. At first, I want to say 3.5 but I'm like, no, that's 4. Is Luka that next guy?
I think so. I mean, I'm wondering about Jason Tatum, too. Gosh, I love Jason Tatum's game. I just love it top to bottom. Luka seems to be like that, and we'll see. I mean, it's interesting to me how Dallas is built. They are sort of the unconventional team in the modern era of literally one star surrounded by specific role players who do one thing and that's it. And so we'll see if that works against a team like the Warriors that has so much experience, so much skill at the coaching level, and just has a lot, have been through this of game planning for, you know, star dominated teams. You know, I think, you know, because you're dealing largely with the same players, and the same coaching staff. Like the Warriors have been through this before, playing against Cavs teams where LeBron was kind of the only guy out there because of either injuries or, you know, in the case of 2018, like everybody else had kind of left. So the Warriors have been there before, and we'll see if Luka can beat it. I mean, he's he was awesome in the Olympics in a very similar situation. Like people are probably saying what, but his team was constructed very similarly to how the Mavericks are, where he was the lone star You kind of spread out and let him go to work, and he dragged them, you know, way deep into the tournament, and now he's doing it the same way here. A fascinating series, and I think if he gets past the Warriors, then yeah, like he's the next guy.
Joe Vardon, we thank you very much for the time. All the best. Enjoy Miami.
You got dinner reservations?
Where
tonight?
Are you going? You going to the tub?
Hey, tonight's a work night.
Come on.
Game one.
Oh, shut up. What are you doing after the game? Come on, Joe. Come on. Give us the good stuff.
There's a nice bar not far from the arena that's a little hole in the wall that's open late. So may have to, take the edge off after a long night of writing, I'm sure, at that place.
Very, very excellent. Joe, thank you for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The wonderful Joe Vardon. Find him on Twitter, @JoeVardon. Great guy. 216-578-0092. I'm going to throw out the number now because NIL got shut down by the OHSAA. We'll talk about it next and probably tomorrow on The Fan. Lima is upset about NIL in Ohio.
Well, I'm just seeing a lot of bad reasons. I'm not seeing the good reasons. I'm not. I would understand it if somebody would make a case. And so, would we have the vote
between then and now? I have to think of a good reason.
Yeah, the vote was.
It was the nays.
NIL went down in flames in the state of Ohio, 538-254. So the schools voted on this.
Charlie Rangel voted nay.
And of course, my joke on Twitter, because if you allow the schools to vote on this, they're going to fail it. Just like if you would allow the universities in the NCAA to vote on NIL, what would have happened?
That wasn't the example you used during the break. I'm kidding. Yeah. No, continue.
I just, how could you have the schools vote on this? The schools.
Well, they're the ones that make the decision. Well, it's the OHSAA. Well,
yeah, but the state legislature could come in and then demand them be able to do what they want to do. Although I say that, and the state Supreme Court has ruled like 5 times that schools are funded unconstitutionally in the state, and that hasn't changed anything. But either way, I don't understand.
Well,
I'd love to hear from administrators. If you voted it down, don't hide. Don't hide in the shadows. Like, if you voted it down and you signed your name off on it, tell us why you think NIL would be this terrible thing.
I know some superintendents real well. Maybe I should give them a call.
The phone lines are open. Seriously, give us your case. We'll give you your take. I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter just give really bad reasons why.
Well,
they talked about like the rich getting richer, and I'm like, I don't think of NIL in high school as something that's going to tip the scales for certain programs to be any better than they are now. What, all of a sudden the St. Ed's wrestling powerhouse is going to get even more powerhousey? Like, no, that's not a good reason.
Kind of stole my thing, but it's not going to be the football teams, though. The kids that are going to benefit are these ones on the fringe sports that are going to get things paid for them, get all their equipment paid for them that need the help on that.
My first reaction, I've told you this before, was negative. And it is negative.
Uh-huh.
That's my first reaction. But I think like anything else, I mean, they took time to think about this and vote for it. Can I have some time and think about it and vote for it in my own right? Because
we don't take time on this
when
show.
It comes to children. But when it comes to children, yes, I get nervous. And I'll, oh, can somebody please? You got to. We're starting to hear some horror stories about the NIL stuff. Now, some of that is to get us back on coaches' sides because the coaches are just crying and yelling. And what, you had the AD at Wichita State get fired because he didn't do enough with NIL?
They haven't done enough.
And so they canned him so they could find somebody else. So things are getting nuts in college sports. So I kind of want to let that dust settle before we go to the high school sports. Because there is a lot of small towns and there's a lot of power and I just don't, there's a corruption there with children. But you make several good points. This is why I'm not sure about this yet. I'm really not.
Well,
at first my reaction was very negative. You knocked that right down.
No. This to me, I don't see this anywhere near NIL for college. Like I think these are two totally different things. NIL in high school is not going to be boosters with millions of dollars of cash that are going to steer high school athletes to certain schools. That's not happening. Mm. What this is going to be is it's going to allow, I think, say, students in the Cleveland Public Schools who instead of having to do things behind the scenes, they just, it's on the up and up, and hey, you could take, there's some marketing deals, some advertising deals locally, that some kids could get something, or some teams could get their jerseys paid for, other than just having to do boosters. Like that, they can get their equipment taken care of and sponsored. Some great programs.
But can't they?
Like, some protein bars.
Yeah, I don't see why we jump to the worst examples and think, oh, it just means kids are going to be able to go to whatever high school that. Well, guess what? They're already doing right? To some extent.
Yes. Well, a lot of the bigger schools are open enrollment.
But when you're making a decision over children, you're right about this. But when you make a decision over children, you have to think about the worst case scenario and then work your way up. Not the best case scenario and work your way down. You have to think about it from the bottom up. That's the way we do
Everything has worst case scenarios.
Absolutely.
And if we just litigated based on that,
you are right.
My God, what would ever get done?
Nothing would get done.
Gonna do slippery slope on everything, then nothing would get done ever. We would never evolve as a society.
You're very angry over this.
We would take away civil rights.
I understand.
We would take away everything based on a slippery slope.
But I have to think about this. Again, they had a lot of time, so I have to think about this judiciously.
Well, I'm still waiting for administrators. You've had plenty of time. You guys voted on this, so I want to hear from you, why wouldn't they call, Ken?
They might be in the office administrating right now.
They could be administrating.
Well, give them a day.
They're wringing their hands like evil villains going, ooh. Because they will say... They will say that the kids already have that opportunity to get the uniforms and all the other things sponsored. They do it through the school. And that way they can do it in the best interest of the child. That is going to be their reasoning. Now, whether or not you believe it or not, that's a different thing. I can't speak for you.
And again, we have to engage in hypotheticals with each other since you say they're probably not going to end up calling in to defend.
I just don't think there will be one that calls in. If one that wants to be in wants to get in, we are open for all of it. I don't care.
But the having the children, that's always the guise of everything that everybody does. What about the children? They're in our best interest. Well, I don't know. Ask the children and their parents if they couldn't use some of these extra either dollars or merchandise or apparel. They couldn't use this. I don't understand why. So instead, it'll just be done in the shadows. And then what? We're gonna go back to doing things like suspending LeBron James,
which is asinine.
Suspending him for what again? What was
which
he suspended for? Taking some. What was it? Throwback jerseys.
Yeah.
Like
they got them for the throwbacks because they couldn't get them for the car.
Was that in the best interest of LeBron James? Thank you for saving LeBron James from himself. That was very important.
Well, that's actually in that movie they're filming.
I know. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's actually a plot point in the movie. Thank you very much for saving LeBron James because, man, he went down a bad road after that. Remember when that LeBron James washed out and made all these terrible... Oh, no, he became a billionaire and one of the most influential athletes of all time. Thank you for saving LeBron from LeBron. God, that was so huge. Oh, O.J. Mayo? How much money O.J. Mayo...
He got a free TV.
Yeah, O.J. Mayo...
It wasn't from Extend.
He'd have the Hellman's deal right now, though.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Get out of here. That's actually a horrible way to end the show.
That would have been perfect. Are you kidding me?
That actually would have been perfect. I mean, it's right there. O.J. Mayo for Hellman's.
O.J. Mayo made $46 million. Thank you, OHSAA. You saved him because he was going down a dark path.
He played for California. He did not play. He played in the state of California. He didn't play in Ohio.
He played in four. I think he played in West Virginia. He played in Ohio. He played all over.
And that's the type of situation the OHSAA is trying to save him
from. He's a barnstorming high schooler.
Thank God, because the crippling nature of all those transfers from O.J. Mayo and taking some things here and there, it destroyed his life.
All right, you got to promise me you're going to be this passionate about it tomorrow. This is good stuff. I can't just leave this and then come back to it tomorrow and you just be a fuddy-duddy. You've left me many questions. I'm going to be asking questions tomorrow, okay? I've had fun today. This has been a blast today. Joe Vardon was exceptional. Sam Monson was great. I thank him for his patience while you and what Will and Chagrin Falls were getting after it with each other. I love that. Great stuff. Hopefully the Cavs do well in the lottery tonight. I got him fourth. Through 37 minutes, Owen got it like the first one. He had him number one. It took Lyman 2 hours
I'm
to simulate
doing it. Still 14th.
It took 4 hours for Lyman to simulate. Still, he's going from 14th. So we'll see where the Cavs end up. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Double A, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lyman. Now stick around. Hold on. Don't turn the channel yet. Stick around. 92.3 The Fan Extra on the Odyssey app. podcast coming up, and I wrote something down. What did I write down? Stock is payment. We get into it next. It's the Emerging Podcast Scene brought to you by Extend. Take care, everyone.